is you interlock the two.
Now stretch them quite as.
Soccer and the.
Quiet, please. In exactly 15 seconds, we'll be on the air.
I felt like a reptile. Like a reptile. I felt like a reptile.
If you say Roman Kopylov, then you have to go Christoph Sijuketo, and then you take it in turns until someone fucks it up. Malik Smalik. Can't you remember Malik Smalik?
I do, but I don't.
Cat, dog, food, carrot, biscuit.
I don't remember. I don't remember that much though.
You can't.
I remember them getting plasters. They got plasters, yeah. Band-aids.
Yeah, off of the plasters. Punky the, or whatever his name was.
Mallet's Mallet.
Can you remember Mallet's Mallet?
Do you have a clue what he's talking about?
Timmy,
no, even
Timmy, he's Mallet. Not even listening.
You remember Timmy?
Not
Mallet?
Even listening.
Timmy Mallet. Mallet's Mallet.
The guys producing the podcast are not even listening.
Why would they? We've been chatting. We've been trying to pronounce Russian fighters.
Hold still. They've repositioned these lights, so I'm not trying to be Hollywood, but they are kind of bright, aren't they?
Hollywood,
like,
though.
I couldn't touch them last time. No. I feel like I'm tanning as I'm doing the podcast.
I'm pushing through though. I don't think it's noticeable.
No, but now you're turning your head away from the mic again.
It's natural, look.
No, it's not. That's the
what's wrong with that? Looks okay, yeah.
You look like him off 30 Rock, 30 Third Rock from the Sun.
Again,
that's the one. That's the one. Hang on. Have we started?
I don't know, because we haven't done the intro for a while. I was going to mention this.
We haven't. Is there an intro?
Yeah, well, I'm used to you saying, hello, and welcome to the Full Reptile Radio. Now, I used to be used to that in the kitchen, because it made me think about it on my walk the other day. I was listening to the Fight Disciples, and Adam's got his standard, like, run-of-the-mill introduction.
Yep.
Which is, welcome to the Fight Disciples and all the rest of it. And my real...
If it's the first time you stumbled upon us, you can subscribe via iTunes.
But it's not stumbling. It's not stumbling. This is where I come into my really immature, giggling like a girl phase, walking around the woods. And he says, if you've only just come across us... And I'm like, oh. And that just reminded me of something that happened to me as a kid. I can remember we were on holiday with my dad in Devon.
I don't think I like the way this story is going already.
Massive beach. I was about 13. And it was this big, like, overly crowded beach. And I'm stood there. And my sister shouts from, like, the shoreline. She's like, Owen, are you coming? And I just shout her back, no, I always stand like this. And my dad looked at me like the piece of shit I was. And it just, every time they say, if it's the first time you've come across us, I'm like, ugh, lads.
Yeah.
Come on.
Straight away. Yeah. No, I hear you.
Spider's webs.
So are you saying you'd rather me intro the podcast
it just made me realise that we haven't done it since. Because then by the time we're doing it now, it's normally a case of, are we recording? Do you need to clap?
Well, the first thing I always do is check this table, because you tighten it up, don't you? And I'm always concerned that you've not tightened it up properly.
Yeah, and
I'm
going to get covered on in
stuff. It hasn't yet. This is the point where you untighten it.
Two dogs go flying.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Full Reptile Radio. Is that better?
That's perfect.
Okay, we'll get started now.
There you go.
Where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about the fights at the weekend, of course?
Well, dude, we've not caught up for a bit.
I feel like we're echoing today.
Do you think?
Is it because I can hear? I think, yeah.
Is it because I'm talking?
I'm going to do that. There we go. Carry on.
Sorry. Okay, so we haven't caught up for a bit.
We haven't. It's been a while.
Yeah, we didn't talk
you
about
You were
the
Ross
Superman
Edgley
punch.
Last week.
I was Ross Edgley. Someone said they
are. You were a lot
bigger.
More muscular. Yeah.
For real.
Yeah. And sponsored by Gymshark.
Less tattoos, more Gymshark. More and tonk arms.
Tonk arms.
Yeah, to be fair.
Sorry, Ben, we're going to have to just... Your dad can't talk into a microphone.
He's literally not going to move.
No.
You can put the microphone on his head. So we didn't talk about Wonder Boy.
You want to talk about that?
Just how impressive it was. How impressive it was.
I'm just going to keep moving.
You keep
this.
Fucking...
It's my thing now.
Yeah. If I just stay here, that's all right, yeah?
Yeah, that's fine.
So... That was impressive though, right? To lose a fight. Don't come out of there now. You're not going to be able to see for a week.
I know it's blinding.
It is blinding.
The lights are far... Am I wrong, Raptors?
No. Are you highlighting Ben?
They are a lot closer, aren't they? It's not a problem. It's just an observation.
Is it to work for their filters? Because I watched a bit of the podcast the other week. Stace was like, "You see the filters they put?" And I was like, "No, we don't see it. We've not got a screen." And I stood dressed up like a French lady, which I quite like. Truth be told, I can get away with black lippy.
Anyway,
some fighting.
Do you want to talk about the fights on the weekend, or did you want to talk about Pettis Wonderboy first?
I only wanted to say it was just impressive.
It was.
He was getting outstruck completely for what was it, 10 minutes, 12
something
minutes?
Like that. No, not quite. It was second round.
Was it second round? Yeah. Mm. So that would, but off the cage again.
Superman hook off the fence. Superman Mate. Right hook.
And what props to Wonderboy when he, gosh darn it.
No.
Hot dang. You're like, dude, yeah. Just say fuck's sake.
You've got to care more because people will start thinking this is fixed.
For real.
Like, you've got to be more angry. I can't imagine having that reaction. I remember laughing about being knocked out.
Yeah.
I remember being at the hospital with Steve Papp and there was nobody else there. It was silent.
I saw Joel.
I was just in stitches because of what had happened.
Mate.
I mean, you know. Then obviously the depression comes. I can't keep them on the whole time. I feel like a diva.
Freak me out. Yeah. So I mean, it was the way that he was out like the week before.
Out.
He was out. Yeah, Mickey Flanagan's version of being knocked out. But Till was the week before.
Mm.
Who would have called that?
I know.
Who would have called that? And especially
shout
when them
out
two
to the lighter guys moving up a weight class.
For real, man, looking good doing it. So yeah, I was impressed. The thing I was gutted about last week was that we didn't get to talk about Gagey Barboza. Because I know you were mad
before
busy.
It happened.
Yeah, before.
What would you have said? What would you have said?
I always go Gagey.
Let's just pretend that this is before the event, and you don't know what had happened.
Okay. Rewind. I can take that out of my brain. I would have definitely gone Gagey. Oh, I always
of course
will.
You would.
Yeah, just because he's just a mad bastard
by knockout. Yeah.
Yeah, by knockout.
What? Probably first round.
Probably first round. Yeah,
you reckon?
Like 2 minutes 18 in.
You reckon? Yeah.
Yeah. That, just as he's walking away, just catch him just on the jaw. Yeah.
Almost 2:18.
Was it? I don't remember. 2:30. It's there. Fucking hell, cheat.
yeah.
I would. I think I would have chose Gagey. I just think I was the only concern I had was because Gagey's always coming forward. There was a case he could have walked onto a head kick easy.
I just think that's the only way you fight Barbosa though. Like Khabib showed that you've got to pressure him so much that he can't kick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Khabib took his soul a little bit.
Yeah. Though. But the difference, and this is why he's my wild card. Gaethje has got punching power as well as that hustle wrestling style. I think he's, if anybody in the division right now, we always say styles make fights. If there's a style to beat Khabib right now, it's Justin Gaethje. It's been able to hustle wrestle, have conditioning to go hard for a while, take a bunch of punishment, keep coming, and have knockout power.
All day.
It's the one thing that we've not really seen from Khabib much.
Yeah.
One punch?
It was the at one point, Gagey was throwing like Sean Sherk. It's like he wasn't even extending his arms in any way.
Yeah.
He was just throwing his hips. It was, at first, when he wasn't landing with them, I was thinking, yo, dude, put your arms further out. But I'd watch Gagey every week.
Oh, yeah.
Fight outside of a McDonald's, I don't care. It's like,
for his health, though, we couldn't...
No, that's not fair, is it? Honestly, mate, he was ridiculous. Like, just have the confidence to go in against Barboza, who is... arguably one of the greatest strikers.
Yeah. That leg kick trade that was going off as well.
Yeah, but
it made me feel uncomfortable.
It.
Yeah, because he's a lunatic. That's why.
Yeah, of course he is.
Imagine, I know they're different weight classes, but Gaethje against Korean Zombie. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, not the best.
That'd be awesome.
Not for their legs. Jeez.
Yeah, or Gaethje. We've not seen Gaethje versus Diego Sanchez, haven't we? Imagine that.
Yeah. The only thing that concerns me there is Diego's chin. After Matt Brown took
it
out.
Dude, yeah, but his last couple of fights from Diego...
He's got in close and stayed close.
He beat the shit out of Craig White and then he did the same thing to Mickey Gall.
Yeah, but Mickey Gall had it coming to a degree, didn't he?
Yeah, but they're two big, strong welterweights.
Yeah.
Diego looked better than he has in years.
I would be concerned for Diego Sanchez against Justin Gagey. I'd love to see it, but it would be almost like Paul Bearer come down to the cage with like a gurney. You know what I mean?
To the death match.
A casket match.
Yeah. I can see that. I would watch it, though.
Yeah, for real.
What about Jack Hermanson against David Branch? What happened
that
to
guillotine.
David Branch?
I don't know.
I've seen him tap to strikes now, and I would feel... And, I mean, obviously, I wasn't in the position, but I would feel like there was a way of escaping that, if, like, especially if I was... I'm sure he's a black belt, isn't he? Is he a black belt?
Yeah. I would have thought that he would have been out of it a little bit quicker.
He is under Enzo Gracie.
Or tried. He didn't see...
I'd like a breakdown of that finish to find out what really happened, where the pressure was and stuff.
Yeah.
But Jack Hermanson, I mean, Cage Warriors champ, another Cage Warriors champ that is just looking
awesome.
Really, really strong at the moment.
Well, I've never seen that guillotine before. I've never seen it when someone leaves their leg in.
No,
I mean the way that he
yeah, it was nice. It was I mean, he must have a hell of a squeeze. He's got those long arms, though, hasn't he?
Yeah, for
he's
real.
I think he's like at the moment. I think he's about the optimal size for a middleweight. Yeah. Someone that's got the skill and the technique, but also the size to be able to make it work. I think there are some guys that are too big for the weight class now. Yeah. Hermanson's the kind of person that can fight hard for five rounds. You know,
I honestly thought there was going to be more from David Branch, especially when he came back to the UFC. They did the whole, was it against Rockhold that they did the whole like embedded series with him?
Yeah.
And that got me genuinely really interested. It was almost like the Gaethje. I watched a lot of when Gaethje came across, and obviously you managed to sort of just absorb all of that information and you get to know a bit more about him, which is good for us because that got me instantly interested. Same with David Branch. I was like, yo, and obviously just wanting to see Rockhold get sparked is enough excitement to be able to.
Why don't you like him?
I don't know, man. I watched my kids watch this YouTube channel called The Norrist Nuts, right? Don't know why. There's normal TV, but they watch, and it's four Australian kids, and they just got their own YouTube channel. Well, one of them, the oldest daughter, is a skater, so they got invited to UFC Luke Rockhold against Romero.
Right.
And both my kids are watching it, and they were like, oh, look, they're at the UFC. I went, they're going to be disappointed in a minute. They're like, what? And they basically got tickets off Luke as their guests, went down there, did the whole thing. And as we were leaving to go to school, you see Luke get sparked.
Oh, dear.
I was like, told you. He's
that was,
shit.
That was nasty, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Imagine like a full wind-up shot from Luke, from Yoel Romero. They should move the punching machine down so it's at the same position.
Oy.
And let Romero have a good crack at that to see what kind of punching power that was.
And compared to Bisping, when Bisping
that literally looked like a shotgun.
It was, yeah. Yeah, it was, yeah. MDK. But when you saw David Branch come back in that, I was thinking, this is going to be big time, and I'm excited to see him. And to be fair, he just seems to have struggled. He just
seems to have that crack in his psychology where sometimes if there's an opportunity to get out, he'll get out.
But he's got a win over Santos.
It's very, very rare that you see someone tap to strikes.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, a win over Santos, but at middleweight. Yeah. You know what I mean? I still feel, I mean, if they rematched at light heavyweight, I'd say Santos would probably punch a hole in him.
Do you reckon that keeps him around for a bit longer, though? Because that's two losses in a row. What do you reckon?
Well, I mean, the thing is, he's still a top contender, isn't he? Well, I don't know where he's ranked at the moment. 11th at the moment. Oh, as of November, so he's probably moved down a little bit now. But, I mean, he's still top 15. There are still interesting fights for him, or at least you allow him to prove himself against some of the rising contenders, some of the more challenging...
Give him another one.
Yeah, exactly. You know. What else on the card? Josh Emmett. Oh, jeez. Man. I thought Johnson looked good, though. I thought, you know, like he was moving well. His footwork was lively. Emmett was struggling to touch him a lot of the time.
Yeah, he looked good defensively like that, but he wasn't doing a lot to hurt Emmett.
No.
He wasn't, as much as he was avoiding it and throwing a lot of feints. I think Dominic Cruz had feints in that fight 748 times.
Did you see the video of DC on his phone?
On the main event.
On his phone.
How does that work?
The only reason that would be okay is if you're on the phone to Dana. If Dana's texting you in that moment, he requires a reply. Otherwise,
watch
can't
the
be
fight,
on your phone.
Dude.
You can't be on your phone.
Especially when Bob Boza engage you in the cage, and it's out.
It could happen. Anything
what
could
are you
happen.
Up to? Just doing this. Well, someone actually tweeted me to ask you a question, and it's actually people at the fights. Why is it that with the undercard, they'll pan into the crowd and the seats are empty?
I don't know. It frustrates the hell out of me. I don't know. You know, and it's even worse in Vegas. Like, if you go to an event in Vegas, the majority of the arena is empty until the main card starts up. It's crazy. Especially because, you know, like, the champions of 3 years' time are going to be on the undercard now.
For real? Yeah,
it's wild, yeah. You know, the only time I don't see it is when the UFC is going to a new region, a new territory. Like when we went to Moncton, Canada.
Okay.
And it was like a new arena, right. And like everybody was buzzing, everyone was excited. It was sold out real quick, and people were in the doors, in their seats, ready for the first fight. like bouncing, like UFC's come to town.
I suppose that's where it's like in the UK. I mean, when we went, we got there for like half two o'clock, and we were there the whole time.
Yeah, talking to everybody in the arena.
As many people as I can find. Yeah.
Anybody.
Yeah, anyone. But it's it seems strange that like you look around and it's just empty. And you almost feel for the fighters. Like, yeah. Yo, who are you like, fucking fighting
for? Where are these people and what have they got to do that's better than being at these fights? I was always in my seat ready for the first fight.
Of course.
Always. Michelle Waterson against Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
Mate, Michelle Waterson's Instagram. Easy.
Oh, are we going this direction now, are we? I thought we were talking about martial arts here. And immediately takes a dive, nosedive.
She took it
into filth.
To a dive into filth. Mate, that grey two piece.
Milf filth.
You love it. Fucking milf filth. Yeah, she distracted me big time.
Yeah.
There wasn't a lot of content ready going into it, but I watched that video of her kicking a bottle off someone's head a few times. Crack on. Wow. She's ridiculous, right?
She's very talented.
Yeah, for
very
real.
Talented as a martial artist.
Yeah, and an independent, strong woman. It's a good role model for my daughters.
There you go. That's the attitude that we're going with.
I would not be buying them great swimsuits, but, you know.
She looked very good, though.
She looked fucking dynamite.
Like the
fighting. Not what you were meaning.
What?
You just like mouth to me straight fire, whatever that means.
I'm trying to keep this on the martial arts here. Unfortunately,
she was straight fire. Yeah,
she's very. And the thing with Karolina, I like her. I like her style of fighting. I like her enthusiasm. The one thing that she needs now, and I imagine because I've trained fighters like her in the past, where they're so into the fight, they just chase after it. They just go wherever the fight is in front of them. Instead of being a bit more calculated in like trying to corner the fight up against the fence so you can beat the shit out of it.
Is that down to killer instinct a bit?
I don't know to be honest. I'm not sure. I mean, I have had fighters. I had one female fighter who was very good. She had a thunderous right hand. And I always worked footwork with her and it took a while to get to the point where she understood that by putting somebody in a corner, you can punch them as much as you like.
Yeah.
And I always see the same thing with Karolina. If she's got someone that's willing to keep meeting her head on, she's a real handful for anybody. But if she's got someone like Michelle Waterson, comes from a traditional martial arts background where you've got, you know, a lot of, she was light on her feet, a lot of footwork. Yeah. You know, when you're throwing those kind of kicks, you bounce on
middle,
your toes.
It was like what's the Adam Sandler film? No One Messes With the Zohan.
Oh, Zohan. You know, did Cruz say that on the commentary?
Oh, did he?
I think he did, yeah.
Oh, man, I had, I don't know if I'd blocked Cruz.
Oh, had you? You just tuned him out?
Inadvertently.
Yeah.
It's just like this monotone. God, mate, I want to love him. I want to love him so much. But even, like, just to move to the next fight, there was the Paul Craig against Kennedy. You know his last name. Yeah. So
I'm not even going to try.
No, I heard you just walk up to the bus stop and then walk away.
Yeah.
But bear in mind, right, Paul Craig's on a skid. He's pulled these ridiculous subs off before. Kennedy has avoided it for 14 and a half minutes, right? He throws up another triangle, taps him within seconds. And Dom Cruise is like, well, that's it.
Maybe don't wash your shorts.
Maybe, yeah.
I mean, people were tapping really fast from these triangles, aren't they? Maybe that.
But imagine that. 14 and a half minutes in, you're losing, and he pulls out a ridiculous submission again, and Dominic Cruise's reaction was, well, there you go, you see. That's what happens. He went for one. He didn't get it. You string two together. That's what Khabib does. And you'd be like, yo, he's just saved his career and triangled someone. And I think who was unbeaten at the time.
DC was on his phone.
Are you fucking insane? And it's like, yeah, well, that's what you get, isn't it? That's just what happens. Well, fair enough. And it's like, all right, logic. Yes, that's what fucking happens. But 14 and a half minutes in,
yeah,
he needs some high fives.
They need to get him some energy drinks before the event starts.
Man, I don't know.
Something, adrenaline shot in the heart.
Something just to fucking tweak him out a little bit.
I can't hold still. I mean, you've seen me at events.
Dude, I can't.
I can't. I'm the first one out of my seat as soon as the punches landed. I'm like, whoa, ready.
Yeah, last time
There's almost no point in me having a seat. I'm in a permanent squat position ready to go.
Stud's fine, thanks. I was in my seat and Gemma, when we went to London last, not this one, just gone, the Volkov one. Sorry, it was Volkov, wasn't it?
Mm.
Gemma says the majority of the time she's looking up at ass a row of just my adopted UFC family. Just the whole row was just fucking bouncing. Honestly, it's like we'd had too many blue smiles.
Yeah, I can't, exactly that.
You've got to be
giddy.
Arnold
still.
Surely
yeah, yeah.
You've got to be excited.
I was excited. I get excited from the point I wake up. I struggle to eat fight day, even when I'm not fighting.
Yeah.
And like I told you, I got to the event and I walked around and I'm like John's very professional. Like, I've got my notes, I've got my snacks, green apples only because red apples create more saliva and blah, blah, blah. Like, all this shit's organized. His favorite brand of mints. Like, we couldn't be more opposite.
I wouldn't leave
the
house.
No.
I turn up and it's like, you got your shoes. It's like, oh, fuck. Yeah. I knew I needed a thing. Shoes.
Exactly. Like, I have to pack my bag like 3 weeks before and keep checking it to make sure that I've not unpacked something accidentally that I'm really going to need.
Definitely need that.
The amount of times I've forgotten my earpiece, my tie, and my credential. Like that's the Holy Trinity. If I forget all three of those, it's going to be a terrible show.
Yeah. All right. Sorry.
But like, I get there on the day and I'm like running around. I've got my headphones in. I'm like, I've got my bass going. I'm like buzzing. I'm shadowboxing the oxygen. As the, you know, these raptors, they saw, I was like just couldn't hold still.
Yeah.
And John's like, he's like a Zen master, like managing my energies.
Done. Maybe it all comes from the bow tie. Maybe it's all just that. The bow tie and the coif.
Maybe. He was like a Zen monk.
Like a superhero. What would his Marvel name be? Can people tweet us what Johnny G's Marvel name should be?
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. What would John Gooden's Marvel character be?
Professor Bowtie.
Do you know what I mean? I think that's it. You've just won the competition.
What's his power? Organisation. Are those papers organised? No. Check it. Do you know what I mean?
You're absolutely right.
There you go, Professor Bowtie. Sorry.
You know, Paul Craig, going back to that, we were talking about the fights, weren't we?
We were. We're talking about Paul Craig pulling off an insane submission.
That was it. I really think he should believe in his striking a little bit more. Because every time he threw his right hand, every time he decided to commit to something, it landed all right. And he's a big, powerful guy. And like, you know, when he faces off against people, he always gets in their face. Like, I wish he would take a bit more of that energy into the octagon with him.
Energy.
Yeah, let's go. I don't know whether he's been a little bit gun shy since he got stopped. Who was it? Was it Khalil Roundtree that stopped him?
I think so. But I mean,
Tyson Pedro as well.
He looked
two in a row.
He looked tired.
All you've got to do is just, if you find yourself in that position, you got two first round stoppages, Tyson Pedro and Khalil Roundtree. Mm. You've just got to go back and watch Wanderlei Silva's back catalogue.
Yes. So
that's the best way to get over any kind of knockout. Because you're like, oh, look how many punches he can take.
It wasn't as bad as that. Yeah, true. But I mean, it was... what weight is Paul Craig? Because he's
light heavy.
Yeah, he's not coming down.
He couldn't. He's too tall. He is a decent sized light heavyweight. I just feel like if he... It's a belief thing. It's a confidence thing in his striking.
He just looks committed a bit tired, though. And I don't know if that comes into it. Like, if you've got the energy and he knows he needs to save his energy for his takedowns and the attack or the fear for Kennedy is always there that he can take you down, but he can't put a lot into his right hand. Like you say, when he was throwing a right hand, it was landing, but then he looked, not flat-footed, but he looked tired. It looked like he was taking it out of him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's because he trains a lot of, obviously, jits and grappling.
But then, well, I mean, obviously, like, his strength is his jiu-jitsu, but I always feel like his takedowns, oftentimes, there's an element of panic in the takedowns because he doesn't want to strike.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes he shoots out of pressure and his posture's already broken before he enters.
You
saw the burns on his knees. Like, he's shooting to his knees a lot of the time.
Maybe.
I feel like if he had a bit more confidence in his striking, however he gets that, whether it's, you know, working on his hands a bit more, being a bit more streamlined with his training or something, improving his confidence in his striking would then allow him to enter into takedowns and more confidence, which means that his success rate and get... I think he was like 1-15 at one point in the fight.
So does he need to bring someone in? I mean, is it...
I don't know.
What's his team like?
I'm not sure.
An experienced wrestling team?
I'm not sure. I don't know. They're a good team. I mean, you know, they produce good fighters. They've got a good stable of real strong European talent. I'm not sure what it is. I feel like... I mean, maybe it was those couple of stoppages.
I'd have to go back.
Yeah,
because they were both the first round and they were both about 4 minutes in.
Wicked jiu-jitsu, though.
Ridiculous.
Sweep to a triangle. Really nice.
It was
nice.
The way that he, the highlight plays it from about 57, and I think it's at 44 that he catches him. I don't know why I know the exact numbers, but I've obviously watched it a couple
Rain
of times.
Man.
Yeah.
All right.
There are 12 toothpicks on the floor. But when he pulls him in, it's just the technique that he used was fucking insane. And the speed he did it to break it. So I know, was it DC that was saying for a triangle, two arms in or two arms out?
Was DC watching? Did he see it?
He was watching a good 2 minutes of it. Yeah. I think it was the highlight. He was just
was he watching the replay on his phone? Yeah. he was watching the replay on Instagram.
Yeah, he's playing Angry Birds.
That's what he was doing when he was on the phone during the stoppage of the main event. He was watching the replays of the Paul Craig finish on Instagram.
Oh, shit. That's good.
Oh, UFC's posted this.
With
oh,
Dominic
shit,
Cruz
I'm here
reading
at the
that
event.
He's shopping this to him. Yes, I need some man puns. Might buy a Kinder Egg. Treat myself to a pot noodle. Oh, Sunday. I'll have two pot noodles. All right, DC. Hey, all right, Tom. Chill out.
You really got to think about it,
no,
haven't
I
you?
I just don't know, man. I just want him to have just a little bit of energy.
Yeah?
Just a little bit of energy because I don't like falling asleep to events. But I've got more scars on my face where I've dropped my phone from Dominic Cruz commentating for 5 minutes and it's like, dude. You're genuinely just fucking with it now, aren't you?
No, I'm just making
I've
sure
got a lapel mic
I want to make
really.
Sure you're being heard. That's all. That's all.
Yeah, you keep unplugging it. So then,
I'm not even sure with the recording. This new bit of kit that we've got, we've upgraded so we can have more microphones plugged in. But I've left the Raptors to figure it out, and I honestly don't know whether they can, with their little claws. I don't know whether they can press the buttons right. I'm not.
To be fair, the last time we used it, we didn't record for 25 minutes.
They managed to figure out how to open the kitchen door though, so we've got to keep an eye on these motherfuckers.
Just go back and watch that. Just go back and watch that. Because that's one thing on Jurassic Park that fucking winds me off the clock. Right. Bear in mind.
Oh, don't upset me now.
I'm not going to upset you. But then that. Yeah, I think.
Come
so.
And check.
Come and check, Kid.
Hang
mystery.
On. Yeah, come and check. Because if it's not, you're going to sit in and record all of this back.
Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Nice on flex.
Thanks for dressing up. He's not wearing anything that's not got a rip in it.
Yeah, he's shredded.
Look, he looks like he's been attacked by a pack of, do-
by
pack of dogs.
Got attacked
pack
by
of
Ben.
Street dogs.
Yeah. Put some Schmackos in his top.
The little raptor
fight. That's it. So it is. Yeah.
Tiny claws.
Anyway, go on. Upset me about Jurassic Park
where the raptor's trying to get in the door and she's trying to reach the gun with her foot. You know, there's a shotgun. There's a 12-gauge spaz shotgun on the floor and she's trying to hook it with her foot.
Mm-hmm.
And like she's really struggling to reach it. And the little girl is at the computer geeking out. And there's the boy who's been in the Queen film recently. So he's a dude. But he's just stood on the back of the chair going, come on, come on. It's like, pass her the gun. Just pass the gun. She's struggling like, fuck, there's a raptor opening the door. Pass, oi, dickhead, pass the fucking gun.
Yeah.
And he's just like patting the back of a chair going, come on, hurry up, we're going to die. He's like, well, get the gun, Nimrod, and we'll be fucking safe. Do you know what I mean? Just shit like that. Fucking hell.
That's how they prolong the drama, though.
Yeah, but you can prolong it in a different way.
Hang on. Let's just draw a line under this. We're talking about a film where they took insects' blood out of insects in amber.
Yep.
And made dinosaurs out of them.
Yep.
And bought an island and made a
populated
zoo.
Populated it with
dinosaurs.
Yep.
And the problem is that they didn't think about passing the shotgun to...
Exactly.
Because the raptors were in the kitchen.
Exactly.
It's not that the raptors were in the kitchen that was the unbelievable
opening
part.
Opening the door. You clever girl. But this thing goes on to the latest Jurassic Park, right? So
they're a team. They're a fucking team.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking, this is like a Lego
team
movie.
Alpha male raptors. So, fist bumping. Claw bumping. Boom.
No Shirt Nation. Poof. Nice. Fist bump. They'd headbutt each other before. The new Jurassic Park, the whole premise of Jurassic Park 1 was contain the T-Rex, right?
Yep.
Agreed? Hour and 45 minutes, contain that big motherfucker. Not the most recent Jurassic Park, but the one before... They get into a bit of bother with a new fucking T-Rex hybrid bullshit that they've made with Andy Dwyer from Parks and Rec. And all of a sudden, it's kicking off. What do? They ask the T-Rex for help. They're going to open his cage. Like, excuse me, can you just come and fuck this one up? What? What the fuck?
I'm going to tag it in.
Yeah. Nice one, T-Rex. I'll fucking have him. What is going on? And then the raptors come along like, is that the one you want us to kill? Please. All right, we'll help. So fucking logic just... I know it's not
believable, is it?
No,
it's just Jurassic Park is just not believable.
It's over the top.
It is.
I want some Django.
I mean, the first Django one was almost like a documentary, wasn't it? Really?
Exactly.
Aside from the shotgun part,
The shotgun was unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
What are we going to do? We're all going to die. Unless what? We get that gun. Oh, she's struggling with her feet. What are you doing, Timmy? Pass her the fucking gun. He would have probably shot her in the face or something. Imagine that. Family Guy redoing it. Have you seen when Family Guy redo Home Alone? And like, they both break in, the burglars break in, and Macaulay Culkin walks out with all his traps. They tread on some micro machines, go, that's mildly annoying, and shoot him in the head. It's fucking brilliant. He's the best.
I have seen that one. Yeah,
so maybe Family Guy could do the Jurassic Park for me.
Did you watch the fights at the weekend?
I watched a couple of them.
Did you? Yeah. Did you watch the Sadiq Youssef Shaman Rise one?
I did.
See how I curved that one straight back. He didn't even notice.
Well, the Sadiq Youssef, if you remember, he was on the card.
He was on the card that I called in Australia. Adelaide.
Yeah.
And it was like listening to a wrecking ball hitting the side of the building when he hits somebody.
But you said at the time you thought that that was called a bit early.
I did.
And to be fair,
feel like it was the sound and the impact of the shots. And the referee was like, oh shit, I think someone's going to die. He hits heavy, heavy. I like Shaman Rice. He's had such a tough run since he got in the UFC. I remember when he made his debut, I was like, this guy's one to watch. But didn't he get like Zabit straight off?
Yeah, he got crucified.
Ugh. Awful.
Imagine.
Someone had to make their UFC debut against John Jones. Think about that.
Yes.
Did they? Someone did.
Stefan Bonner, wasn't it?
Right. Someone had to make their MMA debut against John Jones. Imagine that.
I've seen that as well. Ugh. Yeah, kind of filth.
But making your UFC debut against Magomed Cherepov, and then he's won two fights. I mean, he's not reached his potential yet because, as I said, when I was doing research on him, when I called that Magomed Cherepov fight, I was...
He got knocked all over the place in round three, though, didn't he?
Yeah, but...
At one point, I mean, that just showed a chin, man.
Sadiq Youssef must hit like a middleweight, though.
Yeah, he was scary. But I do like the fact that he's Nigerian as well, and he's just bringing up that pack.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Taking over.
Yeah, he loves it, man.
What else did actually on the card? I was disappointed to see Ross get stopped again.
Yes. And it was one of them, in his most recent Instagram post, it was like, I'm going to go back, see what I want to do.
Mm.
And it's almost... I don't know if it is 1 foot out the door... But you got to look at it, and I know he was season 9, tough.
Yeah.
He'd been fighting for a long time before. Grew up in Newcastle. Well, was it Newcastle?
Sunderland,
for fuck's sake.
Like, you know, he'd be really good. He'd be a really good coach, and he could really add to the level of MMA in Australia.
Yes. Well, him on the Smashers, honestly, he looked incredible. That fight against
Sotiropoulos.
George. Wow. That was incredible.
What was strange about that, I was in the arena live for that, and it wasn't a massive arena on the Gold Coast. It surprised me how the almost the entire crowd were there for Ross.
Yes, because it didn't go silent when he killed George.
No, that was a beautiful... Was it a left hook?
Yes, and George just went...
Just kind of, his legs tucked up underneath him.
Yeah, we had that many knee pads and ankle pads on.
He did, yeah. So he was spring-loaded.
Yeah.
Desmond Green looked good, though. I mean, he's...
Well, Desmond Green's been one of them again, hasn't he? Where he's been on a bit of a...
He's just never put his foot on the gas, has he?
But he's got one. He's got wins over Tabao and Ross Pearson. That's
all right. All right. Let's come on. It's UFC 236 this weekend.
Boom. Just before we go on to that, then.
Go on, then. Go on.
Is it worth talking about someone getting bitten in boxing?
Oh yeah.
That's kind of filth. What do you reckon?
It's disgusting. I think boxing should be banned.
Yeah. Head trauma and bite trauma. You don't get biting in the UFC. And if you do, they fucking carry on. Pussies.
I think the fighter that gets bitten has to wear a double mouth guard next time he fights.
Or they get to bite him back. My niece the other day, my sister-in-law was holding my niece.
One free bite.
Yeah. Well, she was
at the end of the round.
Yeah.
One free bite to the blue corner. Oh, yeah. But it was only a nibble.
It's like a free kick in the balls.
Yeah.
Rochambeau, once again, does the full You've got circle.
You could use that word again. I'm still not sure.
But my niece was... Rue was holding Bella.
Yeah.
And she leant in. She's not two yet. And she bit her. And she went, no, don't do that. Don't bite her. I went, bite her back. And she was like, what do you mean? I was like, bite her back. And I don't mean that you take fucking skin off, but you have to show the kid. It's like biting a puppy. You bite them back and then they're like, oh, I didn't like that. And I've bitten both my kids and they don't bite anyone, ever. And I don't mean recently. I mean when they were babies. You just bite them back. So I think on boxing, you should get a free bite.
I think there's one other person in the room. Waddly Dog is you're He's the only person that's
You've
got
made
kids.
Children.
What do you reckon to that advice for this? Honestly, this light is.
I mean, I have bitten my kids as well.
Boom.
To be fair,
you've bitten your kids as well. Yeah, see what the what is going?
Not like in. You know,
you're not breaking skin.
Anyone, but yeah, give them a little nibble.
But what? Please. No, but as like a.
I mean, yeah.
As like a deterrent. As like
I
mean, a.
That's worse. Well, that's worse, dude.
That might be worse.
Child line worse.
Because they look tasty. Yeah, yeah. That's
fucking
a bit.
Hell.
Yeah.
I do sometimes say to Ben, I could eat you, and then I bite him a bit.
Yeah, but they are a bit. Dogs can be a bit. You can kind of nibble. She's got a great smell to her. Say she's a dog. Yeah. Most dogs smell funky.
I like the inside of their ears. I know that sounds weird. It smells like Ovaltine. Can you remember the drink you used to get?
I do remember Ovaltine.
It was in like an orange carton. I remember once I went to my auntie and uncle's and they had an Ovaltine tub on the top of the cupboard. And I was like, oh, what's in there?
And oh, like, I like Ovaltine.
Yeah.
And
I
was
like,
weed.
Oh, can I have some?
No, was it weed? No.
Well, they told me at the time it was my uncle's toenail clippings.
Oh.
Which I believed. I was only 26. So I believed. And I was like, fair enough. I think it was Bud.
Of course it was.
It's got to be Bud, man.
Of course it was.
For real. Everyone's got that cigar box or fucking
Ovaltine tub.
Oxo box, Ovaltine tub. Yeah.
So, okay.
So there was the bite. That's what I was going to say. That was pretty fucking bad, right?
Yeah, there was a bite.
The one thing I was going to say was, if someone was biting me, I'd be hitting. You know, even though he's taking him down and he's on his back and he's being bitten, I'd be like, fucking get off. And he was real cool with it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't know if I'd bite them back in that scenario.
I'd be hitting him back because he's attached to me.
If he'd have had a ground game, he'd have been able to pull him into a triangle.
Imagine.
Because they were on the floor when he bit him, weren't
they? He's just been bitten.
He landed on.
That's obvious.
He landed on him, didn't he? He needs his underhook.
Yeah, yeah. What you can see here is a whizzer. How the fuck can you say whizzer boringly? Do you know what I mean?
Sometimes I think he says wizard. like pointy out.
I would love someone to animate just really close words that aren't quite the same.
I've got a list on my phone in my notes that one day I'll dig into of funny things that people have said, like shrugged it under the carpet,
mate.
And yeah, what was the other one that I liked? It'll come to me in a minute.
I used to know someone who said lapsy daisy.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I'm like, what's that word? Is that lapsy daisy? I'm like, do you mean
lackadaisical? Just making
and he's
stuff
like, yeah,
up
lapsy daisy. I was like,
yeah,
that's a completely different thing.
Oh, I didn't want to get too over jealous. I'm not going to tell you who that was. It doesn't matter
Can
who it was.
Be Cody?
It's too easy
was it
to guess.
Cody?
Oh, it's too
was
easy
it?
To guess.
Sorry.
It was too easy to guess.
Hanging with the boy. Getting over jealous. God, man.
Anyway.
Right.
UFC 236. Boxers being bitten.
Fuck them.
Are you done with that?
They'll be all right.
Are you happy with that?
Yeah, I got.
Oh, he's not happy. There you go, my dude. Okay.
So.
Where do we start?
Do you want to start at the top? Is there something that stands out to you
do
more?
We have to?
Or do you want
to... Yeah.
Who are you looking at?
Zelim Imadayev. 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 Imadayev.
Wow. 8-0.
One of them. Yes. He's an assassin. He's very, very good. 8-0 with 8 stoppages. Heavy hands. Trained at what? Go on.
His profile picture just reminded me of Jimmy's t-shirt.
I haven't seen his. What website are you on?
Sherdog.
Sherdog.
All the websites are available, but his. Just him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Made me think of him in a.
Yeah.
In a really fancy...
Anyway, he's fighting Max Griffin. What do you think to that? Max is coming off a couple of losses.
Well, it's his debut.
I know it is.
So that's a big
And Max
thing.
Griffin's coming off that split decision loss to Thiago Alves, which a lot of people thought he won.
Yes.
I'd have to go back and watch it, to
It was
honest.
A home crowd, though, wasn't it?
Dean's sending us photos from Canada, teasing that the skies are blue and everything's wonderful.
Blame Canada. But he beat Mike Perry.
Bida bing bang.
Bida bing bang boom. Mike Perry got
Yes, biffed. He did.
Yeah, interesting, yeah. Man. And the thing is, anyone coming from that region, as in Zelim, that's...
Yes.
You are hard as fuck before you've even started.
Yeah.
Everything's grey.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You just like...
Yeah.
You think you got it hard over it in anything and it's just tenfold. They've grown up tough motherfuckers. So I don't know. It's going to be a tough night for Max, I think, because... You don't want to look past him because obviously it's his debut, but at the same time, we've seen people coming on debuts and absolutely smoke people.
It feels a little bit like it's set up for Zalim to have a really, really flashy entrance to the UFC. Yeah. But then again, it might just be to see what level he's been fighting at on the way up to the UFC and see whether Max... Because we know Max Griffin's been to a close decision with Thiago Alves, so we kind of know where his level's at right now.
But that's a recent Thiago Alves as well. Not to take anything away from Alves, but it's not the flying knee on Matt Hughes,
no,
is it?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But yeah, I hear what you're saying. That main card opener's a good one. Ovin Semprou against Nikita Krylov. And that's a rematch.
Yes.
And that's a rematch because the first time they fought, Von Fluchoke was the finish.
Yes.
Was that the first one from Semprou? I think it was. Nikita Krylov, so he got released from the UFC, kind of went away and got a bunch of wins on his record and then came back. And he looked really good in his time away. Fight Nights Global he was fighting on. So he was stopping people with knees. He was stopping people on the ground. He's got a guillotine win. And it was weird because he was on a decent win. He was on like a 5-fight win streak in the UFC and then he lost to Nikita Krylov. And then maybe he just didn't re-sign his contract. That to me sounds more like it would be the case looking at his record.
Yeah, he's gone 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and then lost one and then FNG.
Yeah, and then he won the Fight Nights Global Light Heavyweight Championship because he knocked out Fabiano Maldonado. Do you remember him?
Yes, the one who fought Fedor.
That's him, boxer.
Who beat Fedor and then the Russians were like, what is this? No. Yeah, they literally...
He
was stood there going, can you fucking believe it? I did it, Mom.
How many times was Fedor knocked down in that fight?
All of them.
Yeah, that was rough.
Yeah, man. I could go bowling.
But then he was re-signed to the UFC to fight on the Moscow card.
And lost to Yan.
And that was... I feel to me like that was when I realised that Yan had kind of turned a corner.
For real.
I mean, he looked really good in that fight. And I felt like that was a really evenly matched one. So...
Well, OSP's always been one of them, hasn't he? Where, like... He's got some massive potential and he's beat some decent names.
Just kind of cruises though, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just kind of like third gear. Like you always feel like he could ramp it up if he wanted to.
Oh, when he lost to Jimmy Manoa, he just looked like he was waiting for Jimmy to smack him.
Yeah.
And I know Jimmy had sort of scrambled his eggs a little bit and he'd sort of touched him up. Not like a normal Jimmy punch, but he was catching him enough.
That left hook that he caught him with.
But he just sort of stood him up and then stood back and then was like, you fucking stay there. And murdered him, and that wasn't long after he'd fought Shogun, was it?
Yes. Oh, and that was the skateboard. Yeah, that was a good little gift, that was, wasn't it?
It was wicked.
But what about Alan Jaban against Dwight Grant?
I thought he was modelling still.
He is. Well, he's a good looking bastard. He really is. I mean.
Like, at one point, I remember when he showed up at the gym.
Dude, I remember when he showed up at the gym and I was like, if he learns to fight as well, I might as well just call it a day.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Take my wife, take my children.
All of it, just...
Fuck it. It's like Ross the other day. I've not let Stace watch the episode yet. Who was that bloke you spoke to?
Look how good I look in this podcast. Yeah,
he loves
swimming. That's not you.
Swimming.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
That's not you. He's got odd socks on.
Yeah. He's definitely wearing odd socks. That is not you. Fucking liar.
Alan Jaban, so he's coming off that knockout over Ben Saunders.
Yeah, Killer B.
Yeah, he always has really fun fights. Alan does, but he takes more chances than he needs to in a lot of fights, and I feel like that's when he gets clipped.
Yes,
Dwight Grant showed in his last fight against, I believe it was Pedersoli.
I'll have a look.
Like he stays on the outside and he waits for his opportunity. That was when he punched his mouth guard out of his mouth. Do you remember?
Yes.
Like, that was a much more patient version of him than I'd seen. I reckon he's probably got the reach advantage as well, not without wanting to...
There's quite a few coming over from the Contender Series with big, heavy hands.
Yeah. Uh-huh. You know what's different, though, about the Contender Series is because the onus is on the fighter to get the finish, that's influencing the way that they fight when they come into the UFC
a lot more stand-up it's good though. From that. Yeah, I like it, man.
There's been talk about offering bonuses for all finishers, which I like the idea of.
I think so.
Why not?
Well, mate, the amount of people, it's like with...
no one likes a decision.
Mate, it's
like... You give the judges a pay cut, because some of them do a terrible job anyway.
You fuck them off. Just make a decision at the end.
Decide who's getting paid.
Yeah.
We'll judge the judges.
What's that with Josh Emmett? Josh Emmett.
Who watches The Watchmen? Huh? Watched that the other night.
Me. Watching it with the knockoff Batman outfit. Josh Emmett knocked out Michael Johnson. He didn't do a great deal else throughout the whole fight, but then was like, can I have a bonus, please?
Yeah.
I was like, yo, Gage is on the main, dude. I don't think you're going to do that.
The highlight.
Yeah, for real. But it would be nice that if you get those knockouts, then at least you're not begging, because it gets to a point at sometimes, you know, when they're like, fight of the night, I love my bonus. And, you know, when you have to ask for it, it's almost like you'd like to think they were looking after them already.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on Eric Anders against Khalil Roundtree Jr.?
Khalil Roundtree.
One round punch out.
Yeah. Khalil Roundtree, another one who's like gone...
Yeah.
He looked insane. No one expected him to beat Saki. And then Johnny Walker went and absolutely smashed him.
See, I reckon we might see Anders. Now he's moved up to... He's back at light heavyweight, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, because he had a short notice fight at light heavyweight against Thiago Santos and lost. Do you remember he was stopped? He couldn't get back to his stool.
Yeah.
And then he went back down to middleweight and fought Theodoru, but he's just too big for middleweight.
Yeah, well, that's
oh, exactly it. Well, no, the TKO. Yeah, but
it's round three,
yeah,
the fifth minute.
Yeah, he was done. Yeah, that's weird. Round three. Yeah. Oh, it was main event, wasn't it? Of course it was.
Yeah.
But then you've got. I think we're gonna see Eric Anders come out and think, I'm light heavyweight now. I'm a big, strong fighter. I've had a full training camp. I think he's gonna come and wrestle. I think he's gonna push Roundtree up against the fence and try and stifle his striking. Because like Roundtree, I mean, he's at 7 wins. He's got 5 knockouts. That's a high finishing ratio. And he seems to have that really kind of like long, loose.
Which is what Johnny Walker had to a degree, which is what screwed Roundtree.
Freak out a little bit.
Yeah, well, the last time he couldn't quite get inside. He couldn't get close enough to him.
Yeah, but I mean, like losing to, like, aside from the loss to Johnny Walker, he's got three knockouts or TKOs in a row. You know, I mean, he's got heavy hands for his weight class, and I feel like we might see Anders try and clinch a bit more in this one. I feel like that might be. Especially coming off 2 losses.
Key to victory.
Yeah. Maybe play it safe a little bit, but who knows? I'd like to see a 1-round shootout, but that's just me being a selfish fan. I'm going to write just bleed on my chest.
I just
want
to see a Jimmy Manoa version. Do you know what I mean? Get to wind them up.
Co-main event then.
I find it hard to think that Kelvin's going to win.
Really?
Yeah. I know he beat Bisping.
So if you're in Kelvin's corner then, what do you say to him? What's game plan?
Fucking hell, can you believe you're in a main domain? Bro, this is mental, innit?
but you imagine you're in his corner. Okay. I mean, you know, like you can't be a dick.
I mean,
he's gonna be upset if you say
well, the
that.
Thing is, he's always,
like, he's chosen you. You're one of his guys. You're one of his cheerleaders.
That's it. But he's always surprised people.
You're there like, come on, of course you're gonna beat him.
You've got this.
Of course you're gonna beat him.
Definitely clear up that staph infection on your neck first, because that's a bit weird. Because if the Starbender catches out with a dirty kick and he just gets covered in pus.
Oh.
Can you imagine?
It always turns into celebrity deathmatch with
Lance
you.
Lance in his boils, just like, shing. And the winner by toxic...
By biohazard.
Biohazard. Kelvin Gastelum. Yo. Fucking gross. Like custard all over the fucking cage. Yeah, I don't know.
I just let him get it out of his system.
Yeah, it's got to go. Because I can say good things. Because look, no one thought he was going to beat your eye hole.
You can say good things.
He looked awesome against your eye hole.
He did.
But then he went
now we're on track.
Tyron Woodley was a split decision. Are you right, Woodley, dog? Was it the custard thing?
Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Are we live on Instagram as well? Oh, it's all happening. Ask him if we've got any questions. We'll answer some questions.
Ben's not live on anything.
No. As you were saying, after the custard part, so you were going to say nice things about Kelvin Gastelum because you're his corner man. You're in his team, Owen.
I'd say to him, yo, you've only lost to Chris Weidman, Neil Magny and Woodley.
Right?
You can smash this piece of shit. Come
exactly.
on. And...
No. Like, look at the positives. Like, he beat up Tim Kennedy, who was a big, strong middleweight.
Ridiculously. Right? That was impressive.
He knocked out Michael Bisping, former champ.
No.
Close distance on him, caught him with a big left hand.
No.
Come on, you've got to credit him. You've got to build him up.
How many rounds
have
you just had? Oh, sorry. Okay, we're doing the positive.
He knocked out Vitor Belfort, but then he was smoking a bit of weed.
Yes.
But we don't worry
Vitor
about,
was... Like, yeah.
If you knock out ratting. Vitor Belfort when you're high...
Vitor the chemist
that's
Belfort.
That's 2 wins. Yeah. Credit this man's account with 2 wins for that,
especially
please.
If that was... Was that like...
I don't know which Vitor
PED
that was.
Vitor.
I'm not saying that. I'm not saying
I can
any
say that, because I'm not employed by them. So, yeah, he's had some impressive wins. He's had some really impressive wins. And to be fair, he's coming off a win over Bisping and Jacare.
Exactly. A win over Jacare.
Jacare is fucking insane. Split decision, though.
It doesn't matter. It's a win over Jacare.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I think is the Israel story is way more exciting and I will tune in a lot more for it. Is that the problem?
So that's what's influencing you.
Yeah.
You want Israel to win because you prefer his story.
Yeah. And look, he's just, look who he's beating. Like, he's looked good doing it. He's flashy.
Okay, so is Anderson Silva equivalent to Jacare?
No.
Okay.
No, not that version of Anderson, because it was a...
Is Derek Brunson equivalent to Michael Bisping?
Brad Tavares, I would put next to Bisping.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Former
Brad
champ.
Tavares has been impressive.
Former champ.
It's not something I really want to discuss.
Well.
I love the Bisping story.
Owen Oxley.
I stood up and applauded when he beat
Rockhold. You tweet your thoughts at him. Don't include me. No. You've said it now.
I'd say Brad and Bisping. Okay. They're pretty evenly matched.
So you don't see a way for Kelvin winning this? Let me pose this a different way. If you were to imagine Kelvin winning in the world of mixed martial arts where Anthony Pettis comes flying off the fence with a Superman right hook and knocks out Wonder Boy, that world, where Chris Weidman knocks out Anderson Silva, where Michael Bisping knocks out Luke Rockhold, where Matt Serra knocks out Joyce St. Pierre.
Easy.
Right?
So anything can happen.
Hang on.
Go on, you got to have another one. What about Holly Holm?
No, I'm not going that far. What in that world where anything can happen in MMA, how does Kelvin beat Israel Adesanya?
Well, I think he's going to be a lot bigger than him, heavier than him, and I think that he can bully him a bit.
Okay.
He can use his wrestling. He's good at his wrestling. Look what he did to Uriah Hall. And Uriah Hall at the time was as exciting as Stylebender in the Ultimate Fighter 13, 14, 15.
I can't remember these things like you can, Raymond.
They wore red. I know they're one of the team kits was red, so it could have been Frank Mir. Or was it?
17.
17, was it? Was it, it Shab? Was it, it was Ortiz?
It was 17.
Ortiz versus Franklin.
No,
it wasn't Ortiz. It was Chuck and
Jones
Ortiz.
Sonnen.
Okay, that was after.
Anyway, you failed.
Fuck it. Don't matter.
You failed on both.
I think he could.
He looked good against Uriah Hall. Yep.
Really good. And Uriah Hall at the time was touted to be Stylebender. He was insane. He's all his flashy shit. And so I think he could bully him. But I think if Israel comes out with the exact same confidence that he fought someone like Derek Brunson with.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was just his confidence. I think Brunson was, he'd already checked out.
So here's a fun game I like to play, which you can play at home. It's very easy to play.
We need a theme tune for a fun game. You can play at home. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the theme tune would be, but we need one.
If they were to fight 100 times, if you could get 100 clones of each fighter and they were to face off in 100 octagons all at the same time in 100 parallel universes, how many times out of those 100 does Kelvin Gastelum win?
Probably 30. What
really?
Are you saying? Because you're not commentating for this one. You can put your balls on the line.
Well, people know I always get my predictions wrong. I do the analysis right, but then my prediction's terrible. I think Gastelum's got a decent chance of winning. I think you could go somewhere between 30% and 40%.
So my 30 wasn't that bad.
Yeah, no, I think you could. I was thinking you were going to go lower than that because you were bitching about him so much.
No, I just the
you're
thing
being
is,
so horrible to him. Like, I'm actually going to I'm just going to let him know that if he needs to reach out to somebody,
yeah, he can come and box me.
Yeah,
in the office.
He can call me or he can.
I've been making t-shirts and he just tapped me on the shoulder with his custard fingers. Like, all right, mate. What are you talking about? I'm like, ugh. Not with my creepy hand.
What? I got 18 kids to feed.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Israel's got massive. He's just got the hype behind him. I think there's, for real. There's something.
You know
that
stuff was animated on. You know he doesn't actually do all that electric stuff.
It's almost like he's a better Bruce Leroy. You remember when Bruce Leroy did all that?
Yeah.
And then got stopped a couple of times. Thing is, I haven't seen Israel on his back much. I haven't seen him fighting off his back. And I think that Kelvin can put him there. The only thing is that Kelvin's last loss was to, what's his name, off his back. Fucking hell. Former champ, Chris Weidman.
Yeah. Yeah, but like stylistically, Chris Weidman's a very different kind of fighter. Like, he's a good wrestler. He's a very good wrestler, as well as Kelvin being a good wrestler, but with the size advantage as well.
Yeah.
I feel like Kelvin can threaten with wrestling, and I think he can keep it scrappy enough to land with power, as long as he doesn't get caught up in that Adesanya kind of witchcraft rhythm that he plays.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think Adesanya's got the odds behind him to, you know, to beat him up from a distance and then catch him on the way in. But I would say that Gastelum's one that once got more power. I would say he's the one that's got more one punch knockout power.
Well, yeah. When he did Bisping, the problem is that I had with that was Bisping had just come off four rounds with GSP? He got knocked all over. They'd had a proper fight and he stepped in last minute, short notice, in China. Was it like, China? I think it was China.
It was Shanghai.
So I think
it was like 2 weeks notice.
Yeah, part of the work had already been done. Mm-hmm. Bisping was exhausted, off a fight camp, adrenaline dump, lost his belt. Do this for us, mate.
See, like you look at Adesanya's record. So he's had 16 wins with 13 knockouts. But then if you look at the knockouts, it's TKO, 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 TKO. They're all TKO apart from one KO head kick. So the difference between a knockout and a technical knockout is, let me get this right.
Is the ref
so
enough?
I'm going to get a phone call from Mark Goddard's. Sonar's going to catch. Listen, listen, Hardy. His sonar's going to pick up when I'm talking
April
about
Fools.
This. A knockout is when you can't defend yourself intelligently.
Yes.
A TKO is when you're not intelligently defending yourself.
So the KO is that you can't defend yourself because
my phone
are
ringing?
Sparked.
No, it must be right. Mark's not calling.
His sonar's just like binging.
Yeah. So
you can't defend yourself because your face is on the canvas.
Exactly.
Okay.
So a lot of these were like volume of strikes, the guy's covering up and not intelligently defend himself, but not unconscious. Whereas like you look at the way that Kelvin Gastelum can lay people out with one shot. I feel like if he's got confidence and he can close distance. Like, and the other thing as well, you've got to think about intention going into this because like from Gastelum's perspective, he's been grafting. He's had to move up a weight class.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough.
Do you know what I mean? He's been chasing this for a while, whereas Adesanya stepped in and he seems to have this big buzz around him and immediately him and Gastelum are on the same stance.
I wouldn't be surprised if Kelvin knocks him out because...
No. You've committed.
I'm just going off that anything can happen. Anything can happen. But if you look at Adesanya, he's had 5 fights in the UFC of which 3 have gone to decision.
Oh, so you see my point.
Do you see
now?
What I mean?
Yeah, I see what you mean.
Do you feel me knocking?
I see.
Let me in.
I feel you knocking.
So that's the difference. But the thing.
So what are you saying then?
I think Adesanya's going to do it. Hopefully.
You do.
I'm just hopefully. You've
already tainted your prediction. Then you said hopefully. You can't ever use that word.
Maybe. Israel, the Stylebender, maybe pulls off a difficult win.
Yeah.
Against a seasoned vet.
Yeah.
Custard McJojo.
Kelvin Stafstalum.
And I didn't even say it. You said it. Oh, man. That sounds like a Harry Potter character.
I'll shake his hand when I see him again, as long as he's washed it.
Yeah.
Oh, it is what it is. You know, I never got any kind of skin infections until I went to the US to train.
Oh, really?
I trained on the filthiest mats in the UK. Like, you've seen the gyms that we train in. They're fucking gross. Like dog hairs and like dried blood and like they get sweated on twice a day at least and maybe cleaned once a month. Vacuumed around the edges.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's about all you're going to get.
So where did you get the first? Where was the first place?
Name Team Quest was the first. And I'll tell you what it is. Right? I'll tell you, it was the original Team Quest up in Oregon. I know exactly what it is. Because when we go into the gym, it's freezing cold outside, so we're wearing jackets and shoes and stuff. We come in, we walk up, we take our shoes off, and we walk onto the mats. We might sweat and bleed and all that on the mats, but we don't walk onto the mats from outside. So many people that I saw coming onto mats at Team Quest, at American Top Team, and at Legends, there were so many people that would leave their car with their wrestling shoes on. They're just walking from the car to the gym.
Rock up in their flips. So in their spats and their shorts.
But they just walk from the car into the gym with their wrestling shoes on and straight onto the mats.
Scruffy.
And then they clean the mats twice a day with all that antibacterial stuff. Can't be good for you.
No.
You need that balance, you know what I mean? Yeah. That yin and yang of bacteria.
Talking about cleaning up and being a better person.
How did we get onto this subject?
I don't know, but this just reminded me of a person I used to work with. She just needs calling out, basically.
Is this the time and the place?
Yeah. Well, you just said about people being better.
Do we get a name?
A name. She called herself Amy, but her real name isn't Amy. Can't remember her name. Didn't fucking like her. Basically, I worked with her in the team. We're in the same team. And my opinion of it instantly changed because I always like to think, you know, be kind to bad people. Do you know what I mean? Do your best, all the rest of it. Like, you can give anyone your time. It doesn't cost you anything, all the rest of it. And we went up and then we used to have a shared canteen. And in the shared canteen, it was you clear your own stuff away and it got cleaned, but like, don't leave all your shit about. I can never forget, I walked into the canteen, got everyone sat down, and we used to do the quiz in the Metro newspaper. Rock and roll, motherfuckers, right?
So that was very Ricky Gervais, point and wink to camera.
It was a rock and roll, yeah. Shout out to Ricky. So we did the quiz, and basically, she sat down one day, and she started kicking off about the cleaners and saying how fucking scummy they were, and they're like, oh my God, this place is disgusting, it's fucking gross. I was like, easy. Because my mum's a cleaner. So I was like, fucking hell.
Like a hit woman?
Yeah, yeah, completely.
Like the wolf.
Oh, mate, she's like 4'7" hit woman. You wouldn't fuck around. And you wouldn't suspect it neither. She's like the granny off of...
See, now we've confused. Now you're not sure whether we were serious or not. She might be a cleaner.
She might be
a
cleaner.
Or a cleaner.
Or she might clean your clock. So anyway, with my mum being a cleaner, it instantly put my hackles up a little bit because I sat there and she's bitching about this.
Is that where your hackles are?
The hackles are on my back. Just here. Just there.
Oh, so, is that what they are?
Yeah. Technically, this is nothing to do with me.
It's a new word. New word of the day.
Yeah.
Ping.
Hackles.
Hackles.
So I'm sat there and I'm like, fucking hell. And she's really kicking off, laying into these poor kitchen staff that are fucking busy all the time. And I said, oh, what's the problem? She's like, this mess is fucking gross. It's been here all day yesterday and all day today. And I was like, how the fuck do you know that? In what world are you making notes of messes? And she was like, well, I did it yesterday.
Oh.
Don't think she didn't get called a thunder cunt because she did.
Slap.
What the fuck? Who does that? And she's like, ugh.
TTB, right?
What? TTB.
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 That's like Elvis is taking care of business, but the Jimmy Warhead version, which we're not going to say on camera. We're absolutely not. I know you did. That's why I interjected immediately. I was like, we're not going to say on camera.
TTB.
You can say TTB. That's fine.
Okay.
Taking care of business. Yeah, no, we're not giving that a song
working
either.
Overtime,
I'm not. No, no, no. I've just realised that if I put the idea of making a song in your head, now you're going to start thinking.
I'm going
to
be driving home on the M1 going, TTB.
Let's talk about the main event. Yes. What
we got left?
Yeah, no, ages. I think we've been running for about 4 hours. But we can cut some of the nonsense out.
Ever. You can't cut any of the nonsense.
Max Holloway against Dustin Poirier. Poirier.
Wow.
Poirier.
This is a good main event, isn't it?
Which way do you go? I've done the breakdown for it, which is coming out. And we've got some behind-the-scenes stuff coming out, haven't we? We've got a behind-the-scenes trailer out. No, in fact, well, the actual show is going to be out by this point, isn't it? Because this is...
What day is this? Thursday?
Well, today's Monday. Is Monday?
It's April Fool's today, bitches. It's just
time to go watch. Is this where you tell us that this isn't switched on? This is April Fool's. We've got to do it all over again.
Joke's on you, dickheads.
Yeah, so we'll put that out. So we've got... So have a look on our YouTube channel, Full Reptile Radio Fight Network, yes. FRR Fight Network.
Yes.
Yes.
So what Search did you, what was the, obviously we'll have all watched it by the time this is out, but what was your overview on the main?
Both are very good at switching stances, then moving forward, covering distance and hitting with power. The reason that they both step forward is for different reasons, though. Max Holloway steps forward to cover distance so he can land high-volume strikes. Dustin Poirier steps forward so he can throw all of his weight into his punches. Yeah. So almost every punch is a power punch. The difference is Holloway tends to keep in a fighting stance no matter where he is. Even if he switches, his feet tend to stay one in front of the other, whereas Poirier tends to square up against the fence and just throw hooks and then level change. So I feel like Holloway's going to be the one that's going to be trying to keep a distance with his hands. If he sees the opportunity, he'll be working his kicks as well. And then the one other thing that I think is really important is, and this was something that we talked about on the Inside the Octagon when Holloway was fighting Ortega. If you look at the output for Holloway, it goes, I've not got my pad with me. it goes up each round as well as his success rate. So it's like his volume increases and he's landing more. Easy. Whereas Poirier starts out really hard.
Yes.
He throws loads and loads of volume, which has a low success rate, but then his work rate drops off per round, but then his output drops off at the same time.
See, just to look at it initially, I think you instantly would choose Max purely of the path that he's been on as far as defending belts and what he's achieved. I mean, taking out Jose twice is fucking insane. That Ortega fight last time was batshit crazy. But the Dustin Poirier, I mean, if you actually look at who he's fought recently, because the thing with Poirier always stands out to me isn't the Conor finish, because Conor still had a ponytail, so that was fucking years ago. So it was not that, but it's the Michael Johnson knockout. Like Michael Johnson does that same thing as Max, where he sort of steps in and out.
Yeah, but you see, that's what's interesting about that, and I'm glad you raised that.
Okay, go on. We didn't practice that.
We didn't, did we? There's no production meeting before these. I'm sure they could.
Fucking hell. No.
We'll discuss this, and then we'll move on to this.
No.
If you look at his last three losses, which span, I mean, we're talking about 2013.
Holy shit, yeah.
So take out the Chan Sung Jung fight, which was it was predominantly defending takedowns, and he got caught in a Darce choke. His last three losses, Cub Swanson, 2013, Conor McGregor, 2014, and Michael Johnson, 2016. All three of those guys are fast strikers. Two of them are southpaw, and Cub Swanson switches his stance, so he can be southpaw.
Yeah.
All three of them gave him problems because he doesn't do well against other southpaws.
And what's Max?
Max does
whatever
both.
The fuck Max wants Max, to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Max has got the option of staying orthodox most of the time. If he finds himself switching to southpaw and he's getting more heat, then he will just switch back to orthodox.
Yeah.
But I feel like Max is going to be the one defending takedowns for most of it.
The thing is, the people that Poirier has beaten recently, I mean, Eddie Alvarez twice.
Mm. Did you see Alvarez lost again?
I did. I was going to bring that up because me and Kid Mystery were talking about it. It didn't look like the normal Eddie at all. It looked like he got punched a couple of times and he just fucking, not gave up, but he just, normally he's got that grit, that bite down and he just
I wondered whether
coming.
Something got injured. Yeah, that's, you know what I mean?
It was like a flurry of, say, three shots. And when he went back to the cage, he didn't fall into the cage defensively. He sort of put his hand back to stop himself.
Like he knew where he was. It was like he got injured.
And he turtled. I've never seen Eddie Alvarez turtle like that. No. Even when Conor was boxing him, he didn't turtle like that.
No.
That was like, that and DJ.
Mm-hmm.
Saying to the boys, though, with 1FC, I want it to be really big and I want it to be exciting, but it's almost like there needs to be an English-speaking version and a Japanese-speaking version when you're watching it back, because the press
conference...
Don't they
have Misha Tate commentating now, or is she involved in...
Yeah, but it's like the press conference, they asked DJ a question, he answered the question, and then it was being translated for about a week. And the guy was like, oh yeah, just to follow up on that, did you mean to do this? And it's like, fucking hell, don't ask him something else. And it just went off, and it just sounded so disjointed, you know, because of the language barrier. But I mean, it's good to see him. It's nice to see 1FC. I like 1FC.
It feels very different to the UFC, which I quite like. It's good to have alternatives.
Yeah, for real. But using that, the Eddie Alvarez that Poirier beat is very similar to the Gaethje, scrappy, fucking brawler. Pettis wasn't necessarily in the best place.
No, well, that was a rib injury as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, and that's not taking anything away from Poirier, but...
God, I would like to see that fight again. Yeah, like, imagine if Poirier beats Holloway and then gets Pettis stepping back into lightweight.
Mate, but the thing is, he's finished Alvarez and Gaethje.
Yeah.
That's big. I don't think it's Max Holloway big.
The one thing that we don't know, though, and the little bit of this whole piece, the whole thing that's unquantifiable...
Timber. Bit of weight.
I was like, where's this going?
Sorry. I thought you were going to reference the weight you had to put on.
That is exactly it.
Yeah, a bit of timber.
I think that the best version of Max Holloway is at lightweight. Like, especially if you go back to his debut. Like, when he made his UFC debut against Poirier and lost in the first round, he was 4-0 and he looked like a child.
Yes.
Like, he looked like a child. Yeah. Whereas, and if you look at that guy, you're like, yeah, I can understand he's a featherweight. If you then put today's Max Holloway next to him, they don't look like the same person.
No.
Like he often like, does it looks it. Like
if
his dad.
On his timeline. He puts yeah. on it, it's like just tattoos start getting added.
Like Max Holloway now looks like Max Holloway's dad
when he debuted.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
So it makes sense for him to move up a weight. It makes sense for him to now. And remember, he took that fight on short notice against Khabib and didn't make lightweight.
Yeah, but that was like 2 minutes.
For sure. But that shows how big he is when he's not in training camp.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if he's walking around 20 pounds over his weight class, then he would have made lightweight.
And how much battle damage is Holloway taking? Because,
well, he didn't take a lot in his last fight. And he landed. He broke the record for punches landed in his last fight as well.
I thought Ortega caught him a few times. There's a couple of times where he caught him and I was like...
Didn't seem to bother him though, did it? But then Ortega's not much of a puncher. It was his elbow that did Frankie Edgar.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can see I've got all this stuff in the forefront of my brain, can't you?
Yeah.
So it's all stacked up there ready for inside the octagon.
But if I said to you, the people that Max has beaten... In like Cole Miller, Cub Swanson, Charles Oliveira, Jeremy Stephens, Lamas, Pettis, Aldo twice, and Ortega. Would you put Poirier to be the one to beat him?
No.
If this fight hadn't been made in any weight class, would you say that Poirier's going to beat him?
No.
I wouldn't. And that seems sad to say, and I wouldn't be surprised if Poirier pulled out a massive upset, because that's what we love. Like you said earlier, anything can happen. But the difference is, I just don't think it's Max's time to fall off it yet.
So what are you thinking? Max picks up the interim title and then faces Khabib at Fight Week, and Adesanya beats Gastelum and fights Whittaker in Australia.
Yeah. I think that Holloway...
Imagine that. Main event in Australia, New Zealand.
You'll be calling that.
Maybe.
We'll go.
If me the, and Ben if will the go MMA the gods love me.
Yeah. Me and Ben will go in your case. Get no clothes. Just us. But I think it might be a volume thing. You know, like when...
What?
When Max Holloway... Her volume, duck. When Max Holloway beat Pettis.
Yes.
It just came down to Pettis. Like,
bang, 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 bang.
Off,
just
man.
Stop fucking Jesus hitting me.
Fuck, we get it.
But that he, like most of his... Like Adesanya, most of his finishes are TKOs.
Yeah.
Like he's not binging people and knocking them out. It's... Bam, 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 and then just watching them collapse against the fence.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember what he did to Lamas as well?
Yeah.
Same thing. Beautiful hook to the body.
Yeah.
Pow.
Max always just looks like it's effortless. Mm. I know he puts a lot of work in. I know he works hard. Dustin Poirier, you can see it's a grind. And don't get me wrong, they're both very skilled. They're both very good. But with Max, he's just, I don't know if it's the confidence of his 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 fight win streak. That is just making him relax.
I'm impressed you got that high.
I did 13 all on my own.
Well done.
Boom.
We'll get this man a star sticker.
I'm literally going to come in next week. 1 to 13. Fucking nice.
There's something about Poirier that's very kind of old school MMA though. Like, we're just going to grind this out. We're going to bang. We're going to sprawl and brawl, you know?
Yeah.
But I feel like he's going to wrestle hard in this one. I feel like he's going to try and pressure Max. So it's down to Max to defend takedowns, keep space, and maybe attack some nets.
I hope it goes to 3 or 4.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see...
If it does, then it's Holloway winning.
Yeah.
If it goes past 2, it's Holloway winning. Because that's when he starts to pick
volume,
his pace up.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. What's your pick for fight of the night? Main event. Main event. Co-main.
Probably, main event, man. All day. Main event's going to be insane. And Dana fucking loves Max.
He does.
Yeah.
Who doesn't?
Rightly so. The thing is, as well, you see a lot that Dustin's now got a kid.
Yeah.
And it was always Max before, because he's like, hey, daddy's got the gold belt. He's like, yes, daddy's got the gold belt. Fucking fives. Whereas Dustin's got a kid as well that would like a gold belt.
Play
the game. Let's share the
love. I know. Here's a question for you then. What's your prediction on what's Conor McGregor going to do this weekend to make sure he's in the headlines while this event goes on?
For fuck's sake, double retire?
Double.
Man, the thing is... When I saw the retirement, I didn't know if I was just looking at... You know, sometimes people share like 8 years ago. And it was a similar thanks for the cheddar in a bit. And it's almost... I don't know. He's been very vocal on every main event that's been out. Saying like, I'll do it. I'll fight you. Nice one. Being pleasant to some of them and not to the others and all the rest of it. But then you see Gagey this week, which is fucking insane. I would watch every week. And he's probably on 50 and 50. And then there's that much drama with the Conor side of things that I'm like, yo, don't get me wrong, I fucking love watching you fight. But at the same time, just like, just put that energy into fucking training and let's have a knock.
Yeah.
The whole retirement thing is just, because you know when he comes out and he's not retired, it's not like anyone's going to be surprised.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
And then you can't keep retiring because it's the boy who cried wolf circumstance.
For real.
He's learned so much from Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah.
You know what was interesting? I looked, well, in fact, my friend Gary pointed out to me on the side of Twitter, you could see what was trending on the same day as McGregor being in the headlines for retiring. And Floyd Mayweather was right up in the headlines as well, doing something.
Yeah. It's staying relevant for all the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Like Conor's always impressed me and got the following from coming along as this guy that was on the dole, that was struggling, that was going to give it up, that then put all his energy and time into it, struggled all the way through, started predicting what he was going to do, looking phenomenal doing it, and then almost got caught up in the Hollywood side of things. And the thing is, it's one of them where it's like, would you sell your soul for this? And I'm not saying he's necessarily sold his soul, but it's like his fight soul. Because the whole boxing thing was, let's look at it on paper, the greatest boxer ever against this guy. Everyone's saying the greatest boxer ever, common sense. But because Conor's been so successful and impressive and dictated and said what he was going to do, it had you doubting the fact that the greatest boxer ever could fucking win. And you're like, that's insane. So that's cashing in. So that's part of your soul. You're just weighing in a bit of soul. And the difference then is he gets the champ. So every time he's winning, he's bolstering that demandability that he wants to shout out at the UFC. The problem is now is he's coming off a loss where he got
manhandled, dominated. Yeah.
Manhandled. And the thing is,
beat up twice, actually. Yeah,
yes, exactly. And then the Eddie Alvarez thing, that was impressive. That was bananas. Like, we've spoke about Eddie. I know he lost the weekend, but he was fucking phenomenal. Mm. Looked incredible against RDA, was the man. And for Conor to go in there and beat what everyone was worried about being a wrestler was fucking impressive. But he can almost stand on a pedestal then off that win and demand whatever he wants, if it was boxing or whatever. Whereas now, it's almost like he has to inject a little bit of that false energy into something else to keep that relevance. Mm. Because I think most people who would say, it's just about fighting. If they said, all right, co-main, you'd be like, yeah, I'm not a champ. Yeah. I'm coming off a loss. No fucking bother. The ego's not important.
The minute fuck it, ego, 3 rounds and you're going to pay me the same as 5. Sounds good.
Exactly. And I'm going to get this and this. And it's always too much of the storyline. And unfortunately, because the last one sticks in your throat a bit because the storyline was there. He said the right things, but then it didn't. It looked a bit like the beginning of Rocky 4.
Mm.
Or Rocky 3, sorry, with Club of Lang, where it's like, oh yeah, you've still got the persona.
Mm.
You still know the right things to say. You're turning up. But then Rocky 3 at the beginning of the fight, the first fight, and then the second fight and the same thing, completely different because he had to go back to his roots.
And the problem is that because we're expecting Conor against Cowboy and that's now not happening, Cowboy versus Aya Quinta doesn't look nearly as good as it would have done if it was just, oh my God, Cowboy's fighting Aya Quinta. You're like, that's a really good fight.
Burner. Yeah,
It's always going to be a step down from someone versus Conor.
Yeah. But I don't think...
I'd like to see him fight Pettis.
I'd love to see him fight Pettis. I'd like to see him against someone just that stand-up, completely just, like, not be nullified. Because it's like when Adam, I know he doesn't like wrestling, he doesn't like the takedown side of things, and I get that with a lot of it. But with something like Conor with a main event or a co-main, there's so much to be given from a Nate Diaz trilogy or from a Pettis or a Cowboy.
Yeah.
And I think
just crying out for a 162 weight class. First fight, 162.
All day.
Pettis coming back down to lightweight on his way back from his win over Wonderboy, or Nate Diaz because he's too big for lightweight.
Well, him and Conor are the only two of the only three athletes that have won in those three. Him, Ken Flo, and Conor. And Pettis, sorry. But I don't know. The thing is, when all the news is on Conor, I'd lose interest a bit. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's just because I've overdosed, because I've been there for
that's
the
it.
Very
I'm just
beginning.
Kind of tuning out to him. Yeah.
I've seen so much of it that when he's retiring, and it's like even people that don't watch it, like, oh, what do you think about that? It's like,
yeah,
I don't think anything of it. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's just a ruse. And for me, sometimes things, if it's like a joke, if it's too obvious, if you see a fat person, you can't call them a fat fuck because that's too obvious. Do you know what I mean? Think of something funnier. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a small
so
person.
So you want people Connor to be more entertaining in his escapades.
Come back, knock someone's teeth out, and then be like, I did that fucker for free. Yeah. Now what?
Do you know call out Masvidal.
Yeah.
That'd be a good fight.
Yeah, but call him out and back it up. Follow it up. Don't, like, wait for a main event.
But that's the thing.
I fucking have you.
That's the thing. Until I see him in the octagon now, I'm not going to believe he's going to fight. I'm going to be waiting for something to happen for him to be derailed.
Yeah, but it's like when you've got kids and people say, ignore him, they'll stop in a minute. And the problem is no one's ignoring him. It's like, Cav came out and did a little piece on it, which was really nice. And he said about, like, some really emotional things about what they've been through together and all the rest of it. And that's just justifying that bad behaviour. Don't give him attention and he'll fucking stop. And if it had gone, I'm retired, and everyone was like, right.
That's kind of what Dana did though, right? It was like, you know.
Kind of, but then he's been asked that question 25 million times. And then, like, are you going to let him fight Mark Wahlberg? And he's like, what? What? Bobbly Swagger? No one's fighting fucking Mark Wahlberg.
I'd watch that fight.
I would. If Mark Wahlberg had the ghillie suit on at a shootout and Danny Glover in his corner.
Seems like a good place to leave
it. Danny Glover wouldn't know where he is. Bless him.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. Enjoy the fights this weekend. We'll see you next time.
Take it easy.
Nice.